Death is like a dark and painful family secret that we try to keep hidden away. If we do think about it, we feel terribly vulnerable. Somehow we believe that not thinking about death will keep us safe, protect us from its truth, and even from its inevitability. The medical system in the United States colludes with us in our avoidance of the subject by continuing to hide death in hospitals and nursing homes. Nearly 70% of all deaths still occur in these sterile, depersonalized surroundings, and perhaps a quarter of those people die hooked up to tubes amid the shrill beeping of machines in the ICU. Media coverage of medical research, scientific breakthroughs, and the promise of new treatments encourages us to think that cures for the worst illnesses can occur at any time. As an extreme example of denial, a doctor in the United States established a prize of $1 million for the person who can successfully hack the code of life and defeat death for good. Our collective fear of death is so strong, our defenses so well maintained, that when a person receives a terminal diagnosis, he or she is totally unprepared and often hides within a fragile bubble of hope. Hope for more time, hope for remission, hope for a breakthrough. Many doctors conspire with their patients well past the time this kind of hope makes sense, by not talking about dying. They don't know how to shift the conversation to other, more appropriate forms of hope. They want to avoid the emotional outburst that might accompany an honest assessment of where a patient is in their disease trajectory. Even in the face of obvious disease progression and functional decline, a patient and family will continue to cling to denial. They focus on symptom management, staying positive, and a heroic attempt to keep life normal. All of this avoidance in accepting death leads to superficial and blunted interactions between the dying person and their loved ones. Opportunities to explore the meaning of a life go unaddressed. Emotions go unexpressed. Wishes unfulfilled. Dying becomes an unrelenting downward spiral of anxiety and exhaustion as families become overwhelmed by the tasks of caregiving and doubt about doing it right. In the emptiness and excruciating sadness that follow a death, a heavy sense of guilt for holding on too long to pretense or secrecy overshadows the grief. But dying doesn't need to be this bleak, this soul-wrenching. A new approach to dying is emerging, one that encourages a dying person and their loved ones to face their fear, break through denial, and engage in an honest, open exploration of death and dying. This approach also goes well beyond rupturing the thick crust of denial and evasion that separates us from facing death more directly. It also encourages people to explore the meaning of their lives and to express that meaning through memory books, videos, scrolls, or decorated boxes that hold special objects or stories. It helps people to introduce a sense of sacredness into the dying process, to establish how they want the space around them to look and feel in the last days of life. It introduces the idea of designing rituals they can conduct during the last days, which will enrich the meaning of the experience. It teaches the use of guided imagery, touch, and music to bring greater comfort to everyone. And finally, it helps family understand the importance of reprocessing the dying experience after their loved one dies, reshaping the images and thoughts that may be haunting their waking mind and their dreams. Naturally, this approach to dying helps the patient and family to be more in control of how the dying process will unfold. The approach I have just outlined is one that a dying person and the family can learn and incorporate into their experience in many ways. The approach was inspired by the work that birth doulas do with a woman in labor,